Hallelujah. Wow. You guys have been feasting on the word. Am I correct? I love conferences like this, where we just stay a whole week and eat the word of God. Hallelujah. So I'm very sure nobody's living here the same in the name of Jesus. Even if I was not the preacher, this is the kind of conference I would like to come and just sit down. Hallelujah. When I saw the lineup of speakers, trust me, you don't know what's happening in your life already. By the end of this meeting, you will start seeing unprecedented results. You will start seeing unusual testimonies. If I'm talking about you, shout it louder, amen. I'm excited. This is such an atmosphere of faith. Miracles, change, transformation, they're always battered in an atmosphere of faith. You are delivering in this season. I say you are delivering in this season. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Glory to God. Help me shout, it is so true, even the devil knows it. Hallelujah. You know the devil is a liar. But there are some things that are so true, even he has to agree that it is true. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? They say he's the father of all lies, but there are some truths he can't deny. Oh, is somebody getting what I'm saying? Come on, say one more time. It is so true, even the devil can't deny it. Glory to God. I'm here with my babe who came all the way from the UK. A fine girl. Hallelujah. She has begged me not to call her up on the stage. Should I obey? Or... we've had a long trip. We've been on the road for about 24 hours. So I will forgive her. Praise God. But if I'm preaching tomorrow, I'll call you up. So just prepare. Praise God. All right. So I said it's so true that even the devil knows it. Come on, say it one more time. It is so true, even the devil. Let's go one more time. It is so true, even the devil knows it. We're talking about the fullness. This meeting is about the fullness, and there's no way we can enjoy the fullness that God has for us without also knowing what God has prepared for us. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't enjoy the fullness of what is prepared except you know the fullness of what is prepared. Because it's from the what is available that you place your order. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And you can't place this order from what is not in the menu. The menu God has for us is a full menu. Everything is available. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I said everything is what? Available. There are some restaurants you go, if you order some things, they will say we don't have. You say, do you have pomo? I say, we don't have. Do you have mala fish? I say, we don't have. Do you have stock fish? I say, we don't have. Then you, after the first treat, you now say, okay, what do you have? But that's not the story today. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? I said, that's not the story today. What things soever you desire. Glory to God. I say glory to God. There's no limit in God. I said there is no limit in God. It's so true that even the devil knows it. It's so true. You are so blessed. The Bible said those that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If you have not read about yourself in a while, you used to do so tonight. Amen. Because every promise that God gave Abraham, they said, we that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Do I have a DJ in the house? Person that missed scripture. I'm already quoting scripture. Be putting it on the screen. No? That's how I preach. Oh. Praise God. Doctor, there was a time when we stayed at youth fellowship, one lady invited her parents. You know, her friends are wondering, which church have you been going to? You know, the parents are olden days redeemed. So, they said, welcome and see this young church, youth church you have been going to. So, they followed her one Sunday morning. And after the message, they were sharing the grace. The parents asked, have they preached? I said, we have preached. preach, oh. Praise God. Because that's how I do it. I'm already preaching. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So DJ, you have to be getting the scriptures. Yes. I call them DJ because they're mixing scripture for me. Galatians chapter 3. He said, those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So when you became born again, every blessing, every promise, every unction that God put on Abraham now becomes your portion. You are so blessed. He's saying, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will what? Multiply. He said, I will make your name great. Oh, is somebody getting what I'm saying? Please let me ask your neighbor his or her name. Ask your neighbor his or her name. Ask him now. So what is your name? Okay, help me remind them now that God said he will make that name great. Ocholi, say he will make your name great. Did you receive that? So I will make your name great. I'll multiply all your seed as the stars of the heavens. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He said, I will curse those that curse you. Hallelujah. And I will bless those that bless you. You know, it goes on and on that there's so much that they say you are now a partaker of just because you are now in Christ. Those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Glory to God. Why am I laying on this foundation? I'm laying this foundation for you to know that you are so blessed, but if you don't know it, you won't enjoy it. If you don't know it, you will enjoy it. You will get there and think this is all they have to offer. You get there and watch what other people are eating and think this is all there is on the menu. Meanwhile, there's a fullness in the menu. Anything and everything is available. Is someone going to place a big order tonight? Glory to God. Place a big order tonight. I've been bothered and burdened by where our Christian life has been, you know, as a nation. And now I'm even what I'm going to be sharing today is not just to this church. You know, I also understand that this platform is also speaking to the body of Christ as a whole in the country. So I'm also using this opportunity to speak what is in my heart to the body of Christ. You know, it's time for us to really start to take our place. We have constantly positioned Christianity as a defensive faith, as a reactionary faith, that the enemy first does something, then we go and defend. Christianity is an offensive faith. We should be taking the initiative. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We should be taking territories. Jesus said we should go into all the world. Go into all the spheres of influence. Come and tell your neighbor how we go. So we have constantly positioned ourselves from an inferior position, from a defeated position. And I'm trusting God tonight to just challenge us again to understand that you are not inferior, you are not defeated. The whole reason why Christ came to die is not even to just give you a few things. It's to change who you are. To change your status. Once your status is changed, everything you own is changed. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Once your status is changed, what you own is changed. So we have constantly positioned Christianity as a bunch of people that are begging God to do something for them. There are actually people that get offended with God when some things don't go right for them. I see people like that say, God, where are you? God, why me? Why did you allow this to happen to me? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You know what? Even when negative things attempt to happen around me, if there's one person I know that I can, he cannot be the cause of it, is God. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God. So I'm never confused as to who is causing sickness, as to who is causing death, as to who is causing accident. I'm never confused. And I understand when some people are hurting sometimes, they're trying to make sense of the negative situation, so they try to put it on God. You know, the Lord give it and the Lord take it. I understand it's consoling, but the truth is that when you paint God like that, he seems very irrational. So you don't even know when he's going to take and when he's going to give. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And if the devil can ever get you to the point where you are unsure, he can take advantage of you. That's why we have a more sure word of prophecy. More sure. Hallelujah. More sure than anything. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You need to understand it. We need to ride on it. You dare not even give me a negative prophecy. You dare not. If you know how many people come to meet me and say, I dreamt. Pastor, I dreamt. I saw you. You were dead. I said, go and sleep again. You didn't see well. You see, the moment you start to pray about those things, you have received the prophecy. You can't pray about what you have not received. When they give me those kind of things, I don't even pray about it. I'm never confused about where God is in the scheme of things. That's what many people are going through. They think God is the one causing some hardship. God is the one blocking the door. God is the one saying no. Have you seen anywhere in scripture somebody prayed and God said no? It's not a biblical teaching. It's a good mental ideology. Peter prayed for something very carnal. That I want to walk on water. How does that benefit anybody? There's no spiritual. There's nothing. Walking on water was purely for flex. Are you here, somebody? I need us to understand that. When you understand where God is in the grand scheme of things, you will never doubt his heart for you. Am I saying negative things doesn't happen in life? It happens. But like I said, I would never be fooled or deceived about who is causing it. It can never be God. It can never be God. Are you here, somebody? He doesn't kill. He doesn't steal. He doesn't destroy. There's one person that is responsible for those things. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? God is never your problem. When I see some of the prayers we even pray as believers in the body, we shout at God, say, God, you have to do this thing. The day you get revelation that God is even more desperate about you getting blessed than you are about you getting blessed. What God tells you is more important than what you tell him. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't have a bigger dream for yourself than God, than the one that God has for you. You know what he said? He said, he is able to do exceeding, abundantly above all that you can ask or even imagine. He said, there's nothing you want to do that I can't top it. I can still put jara, I can put extra. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? But I'll show you tonight why it seems we are not we're enjoying it. The first reason is because we have largely mixed Christianity with traditional African traditional worship. Dr. Andy, I'm trusting God that in the next 10, 20 years, we will actually enter Christianity. And we have not fully entered. That's the sincere truth. And you see, in fairness, all things take time. Even in the Bible, the New Testament days, remember that there were times they had argument about circumcision and things like that. So they battled coming out of their old way of worship to New Testament grace born again Christianity. It took some time. Even Peter, that would attend some meetings and pretend he has understood grace, he will go, when he goes for council meeting, he will say, hey, look, go and circumcise those people. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And that's how life is. You just like Pastor said, I just came from the UK. I'm adapting back to Nigeria's system. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Anytime you travel and you stay for more than 1 week, 2 weeks, you start thinking this is how life is. Until you land the airport in Nigeria. They transition you back. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So largely, what we are still dealing with is African traditional worship. We have mixed it with Christianity. It's still very mixed. And we trust God. It's getting better and better, to be honest, in all fairness. It's getting better. This wasn't how it was 20 years ago. So my own faith is that in the next 20 years, you know, the people that will get born again that time will be closer to the real thing. Ooh, we're not there. There's still a lot of mixture. The average person that is born again is still first highly religious before he's a Christian. He doesn't understand. When they say you are a Christian, what that means is that you are a replica. You are another version of Christ. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So what we still have is largely African traditional worship. So in African traditional worship, there's a chief priest. He has white chalk in his eyes. It's only him that can enter the evil forest. And the rest of us wait outside the evil forest. Whatever he comes to tell us. We're still, and it's not our fault. Right? You see, the average person that is a proper, maybe an American or something, will not deal with some of these challenges, except he is taught to deal with it. Ordinarily, he doesn't see God as somebody in a business transaction with. But for us here, we are largely, the average believer feels he's inferior when it comes to receiving from the Lord. He feels he needs a middleman. If there's no middleman, God can't do it. That's why sometimes, Pastor, this must happen to you. You preach a powerful message on Sunday, prophesy and pray, and speak a word of everybody. After the service, somebody will still come and meet you. I say, touch me here, so that as I go into the week, it's African traditional worship. It's not yet Christianity. We will get there. And usually, when change starts coming, there will be resistance. It will look like fight, but we will get there because we are not yet there. It's still largely a high priest, chief priest system. The challenge with that system is that it doesn't empower the people. So there are Christians everywhere. Those of you that you work in those government houses, everybody's a Christian. Almost anywhere you go, you will hear a bishop with one message playing, a one prayer thing going on. Everybody's Christians, but the country is still grounded. Because those Christians feel inferior. They think they are there for the chief high priest to pray over them. They don't understand that they are the high priest sent into that sphere. Depends on what my schedule is tomorrow. If I have time, I'll talk a bit about it. It's time. We've been doing all our Christianity within a building. The ministry gifts are not for the building. It's high time we get a prophet in the oil and gas industry. It's high time we get an apostle in the real estate industry. Is that time we get a pastor in the government house? But you see, people that have a chief priest mentality, they feel they are not going to do anything special until the chief priest speaks. So the only powerful place we have as Christians is a church. Because in church, this is our own office. This is pastor's office. This is our office. But you need to take your own office out of this building. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Your gift of prophecy needs to walk outside of here for this country to feel it. Christians are everywhere. It's Christians running everything in this country. There's nowhere you will go that you meet. I travel a lot and I'm very popular. I meet Christians everywhere. All the immigration people are Christians. Well, most of them are Christians. Custom Christians. They are all Christians. But they all live exactly the way the world lives. Because the version of Christianity they know is that there's one chief high priest that is supposed to be holy. He's supposed to be godly. Me, I'm just here to receive. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We're still doing African traditional worship. I was going somewhere the other day. I saw someone was taking a walk. I think he was pressing his phone, so he wasn't looking. So he hit his leg. You know, hit his leg on the stone. And he did sign of the cross. Do you understand? He's mixing superstition. Because there's a superstition that if you hit your leg, it's not a scripture, it's purely superstition. So this person is a Christian. He hit his leg somewhere, he diluted it with sign of the cross. This is Nigerian Christianity. It's a mixture. Nigerian Christianity is purely mixture. Mixture. He mixed superstition with scripture. What if you hit your leg somewhere? How does sign? What I mean? What's the link? Because you think your enemies. It's superstition. It's superstition. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. One of my daughters still put something on her page today, that if something is precious to you, don't post it on social media. That they're monitoring spirits, monitoring you, and they will cast spells on that thing you are posting, on your picture. So I entered her DM. I said, so they are casting spell on you. I said, I thought the Bible said we are far. See, it is the kind of Christianity that we project that will make a Christian feel. Somebody can see your picture and cast a spell. Maybe they will first see you. It's the version of Christianity we have. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Do you know, in every, when I saw, you see, Jesus Christianity was very different from a Nigerian type. What I noticed about Jesus Christianity is that he constantly tried to upgrade us. Nigerian Christianity constantly tries to separate, that we are the anointed ones. If we don't pray for you, you can't get it. Let's look at one story. Mark 11. Is somebody getting blessed so far?
Yes.
Mark 11, you know the story. Jesus was going and he saw the fig tree. This is Mark 11 from verse 12. DJ, is there a DJ? I'm not seeing my scriptures. So where will I look? Okay, here. Good. Mark 11 from verse 12. So you know the story. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Try and move as fast. Good. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find what? Figs thereon. And when he came to it, he found what? Nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. Next verse. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, no man eats of thee hereafter. Please, I want you to say with me the last line. What's the last line? I can't hear you. What's the last line? Okay, we're going to come back to that last line, but so just take note of it. So he said, he spoke to the fig tree. I said, no man eat of you hereafter. Okay? After verse 14, jump to verse 20. I want where they said, when they were passing back the next day. Yes, good, thank you, verse 20. He said, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, what? From the roots. See the next verse. He said, and Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, that means he was excited. If you know Peter, you know he was excited. Master, Master, Master. Ah! Master, Babau. Master means Oga. Am I correct? Master already means that you're on a level higher than us. Master. Ogana Master. He said, behold, the fig tree which thou what? Cursed. DJ, give me now. The fig tree which thou cursed has what?
Withered.
Has withered away. See the next verse. So Jesus said unto him, what?
Have faith in God.
Let me finish. Next verse. He says, for assuredly I tell you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have. Please picture. Jesus, casually, wasn't doing prayer meeting, he wasn't in fasting, he wasn't an evangelistic program, but just casually saw the fig tree misbehaving, just said, you, nobody will eat of you anymore. And he didn't even pay much attention to it. The next day, Peter saw it and be like, wow, because they heard it. Please take it, I'm coming to that, they heard it. Because some of you, your dreams, nobody has heard it. You're wondering why it hasn't come to pass. Nobody has heard it. Don't let me go ahead of my time. But we're going to talk about that today. Who has heard that dream? You want to get married, who has heard it? You're not bold enough for them to hear it. That's why it hasn't happened. You know, many of our dreams, we don't want people to, we want to share it when only when it happens. That's why it's delaying. They must hear it before they see it. Oh, somebody's not hearing what I'm saying this morning. They must what? Hear it before they see it. You hear it? Hallelujah. I'm coming to that. So, he says, he just calls the fig tree casually, no big deal. And the next day, Peter said, wow, master, the fig tree that you caused has withered away. I know what Jesus said. He said, you too can do it. Ah, that's very different from Nigerian Christianity. It was a Nigerian pastor that caused a fig tree. And he withered away. His disciples got and said, master, you caused the fig tree. You say, you think it's easy? Do you know what we are doing? We are in realms now. We are entering. This is their realms. That's what he's going to say. Because African traditional worship tells us that the chief high priest with white chalk is at a higher level than the rest of the people. You can imagine how Abuja would be if everybody in this church is operating with the same boldness and unction that Dr. Andy has. Abuja will feel it. But you have the mindset that he is on, is the master. It was a Nigerian pastor. He caused victory, and people saw the testimony. His work will even change. His name will change. Three Kosa ministries. We're in traditional African worship. We're going to enter Christianity. When we enter Christianity, you upgrade people. In Nigeria, we make people feel, no. You have fasted 7 years before I can curse you. You can just curse victory. Think anybody can do it? Jesus told Peter, go and do your own. You can even move mountain. Mountain and tree, which one looks more difficult to move? Jesus even said, greater works than this. Do you see Christianity? African national worship says, I'm the only one that does greater works. The rest of you, gather unto me. If you want to see greater works. Jesus said, go on. You have faith like the same way you have. You can speak to this mountain, you will have whatever you say. He upgraded Peter to his own level. Oh, man. For Nigeria, by now, that guy will have a weekly service. Every Saturday or every Sunday night. Tree cursing service. Bring all your trees. And I will curse them for you. 12 midnight. That's what will happen. There will be a tree cursing service. Everybody will gather to that chief priest to be cursing trees. The challenge with the issue is not what you get, it's how you get it. Every time you get a miracle that you can't duplicate or replicate, it's a big problem. If you go for tree cursing service and they curse your tree for you, next time you have on that tree you need to curse, what are you going to do? You go for tree cursing service. So we're all building around one gift. When all of us do carry the same spirit, we're weakening ourselves instead of strengthening ourselves. It will be a tree cursing miracle service every Friday night. Night vigil. Bring your trees, any size of tree. The tree bulldozer will curse it for you. And bring your seed. Bring your seed when you are coming. You see, those formats favors the pastor. I've been a pastor since 7 years. It helps my self-esteem if everybody depends on me. When I just come, everything's on standstill till I arrive. With my tree cursing bulldozer. It favors my self-esteem. It favors my financial status. Because when I curse your tree, you sow seed. But it's not Christianity. Because we don't see those models in scripture. Jesus would have been the best person to have a tree cursing ministry. Instead, he said, go and curse tree for yourself. Don't come and meet me. Go and curse tree. So you too can do it. They came to him some other time. They say, increase our faith. He said, use the faith you have. Say, if you have faith and some mustard seed, you can start using it. He had a very healthy self-esteem. Part of what's pushing the African traditional worship is self-esteem issues. Some people like that everybody likes them. They think they are powerful. The more people that look for me makes me powerful. No, the more people that don't look for me is what makes me happy. When I hear your testimony and you talk about how you applied the word of God, because that can be replicated. If you have another problem, you're going to call me. But if I pray for you and you get blessed, when you have another problem, what are you going to do? You're going to call me. That's what's going to happen. And you'll keep looking for me. The day I'm not in the mood. So it's not Christianity, basically. That's not the model they designed. It wasn't one chief priest, many followers. That's not never it. Jesus always said, go. We in Nigeria, we always say, come. Jesus always said, go. He said, these signs. He said, go. We will say, come. The signs only follow me. Come. Nah. He said, self-esteem. Jesus had so great self-esteem that when thousands of people left his ministry, the 12 that remained even came and said, he asked them, you, won't you go? If it's in Nigeria, somebody's ministry is thousands and they reduced to 12. Everybody say he's the devil. So because we want to keep people by all means, we keep servicing their carnal needs. We service it. Because it helps our self-esteem. That all of you gather for me to pray. Then I clear my voice. Three cursor is here. My brother, the day you discover that the thing that person used to curse the tree is also inside you. Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay. You will not only curse the trees of your life, but you anywhere around you that people are being hindered by a tree, you will curse it for them. Any model of Christianity you see that can't be replicable, that can't be duplicated, it's not Christ. It's a man. Man has altered it. Now you need me. If I'm not there, it can't happen. Can you imagine? Jesus was alive for 3.5 years. My brother, he was not married. He was young. Let's all be fair. If they ask you, wouldn't it be okay for him to stay at least 10 more years? But he was in a hurry to go. He said, if I don't go, you won't get the comforter. You won't get the helper. He said, it's expedient that I go. Because if I'm here, I'm going to be in one place at one time. If I go, I'll be in every place every time. Because I'll be inside every one of you. So everything I did as a person here, you too can do wherever you are. But you see, we are still turning the model back to a physical location, Jesus. If I'm not in this place, then I'm not seeing Jesus. So Nigeria, we need to do something about our Christianity. On the short run, it looks very good. But on the long run, we'll have too many babies that can't speak to trees. They need to call someone to speak for their tree for them. So please, where's pastor's number? It's not going through. Please, give me his other number. When you have the same power of God. See, when Peter saw Jesus walking on water, he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. If it's Nigerian Christian, Nigerian pastor, walking on water. This anointing. It's a fresh one. Water walking. Then he said, if you tell me to come, he said, you can you drink of the cup? You think it's easy? I fasted 3 days dry fasting to walk on this water. What did Jesus tell Peter? Come. Jesus was constantly upgrading people. Oh, constantly. Constantly. Say, you can't do that. He constantly made it clear that I'm not special. Greater works than this shall you do. Ghana works. But African traditional worship wants the pastor to look like a star. It weakens us. It favors me as the pastor. Trust me. It favors me. If all of you think I'm a superstar and you are nothing, it favors me. But you see, it doesn't favor the body of Christ. We laugh at America and co, but American Christianity is way better than Nigerian Christians. American Christians, they play politics big time. They don't allow anybody to be elected in America. They increase the body of Christ. But look at Nigeria. We have time. We're still looking for somebody to cut our tree. Not knowing that the person planting the tree is the person that has taken over power. So we are cursing individual tree. When the tree cursing factory is still open. So even if I curse one of your tree of poverty, they will bring another one by increasing price of fuel, increasing price of dollar. I think somebody's getting the revelation I'm giving. So we're cursing individual trees, but the thing cursing the planting of the trees is still alive and well. You're not going to finish, and you're not going to ever finish cursing your trees. 99% of our Nigerian prayer points are things that a good government will solve. So American Christians, that's why you see, they call them evangelicals, they call them this one. They don't play with politics. They put their own person. They fight, but we don't have time. I wish if I have time tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to teach. I might teach on those things so that you understand that, look, if we don't get involved in politics, no amount of prayer. Because life has rules. You can't use prayer to win World Cup. And I'm not against prayer. Of course, as a believer, you must pray. But we need to start channeling our prayer points right. This is our tree cursing ministry. The thing planting the tree about is still going on. I should have been here in morning session. There was strike in local airports, one of the local airports. So I couldn't fly here. So if I like, I should pray. The thing causing the problem is still alive and well. Are you here, somebody? I landed in Lagos. I was supposed to land in Abuja direct, which would have maybe made the morning session, but there was some change and I had to go and land in Lagos. When I landed in Lagos, Pastor, everybody in the business class side, and even most people that are not in business class, everybody had a personal immigration officer helping them to make sure their luggages move. Madness. So a time will come, if 300 people are on the plane, 300 people will have private escort. Have you seen how big people rode before? There will be escort vehicles, many. So we have personal security, personal logistics person, personal everything. You keep cursing tree. As you curse one, another one will grow. In America, they don't play with politics. Nigerian Christians are too busy. Tree cursing anointing. Looking for somebody that will curse tree for them. I'm praying that a day will come. Everybody will understand that they too carry that same anointing. And everywhere around you, will be clearing those trees, blocking people. Are you here, somebody? Jesus constantly upgraded people. Say, I want to walk on water. I say, come. There's nothing to it. If you want to walk on water, come. He didn't say to them, he asked you, what's the purpose of this? You're walking on water. How does it help the body of Christ? The Bible says you must be blessed to be a blessing. You know, sometimes we try to be religious with God. We try to say, God must think that, you know, I don't want God to know that I just want to groove. God is the king of groove. He said he has given us all things richly to enjoy. If you want a fine car, just for the purpose of having a fine car, is enough. God is not intimidated. He will be glad if you use it to preach the gospel. Even if you don't want to preach, you just want to drive a good car, it's okay. Because that Peter walking on water has no benefit to anybody. And he wasn't the only one that saw Jesus walking on water. All of them were there. They saw him walking on water. They were all scared. He was the only one that had the confidence to place an order on the menu. Fullness. Come on, somebody. He just said, this walking on water thing looks nice. So, this walking on water thing, this thing look like, say, good interest. He said, Master, if it's you, tell me to come. I've never seen God or Jesus say no to any prayer request. It's not in the Bible. If you see the Bible, please show me. Where somebody prayed, he said, you, why do you want two horses? Stay with one horse. Or stay with donkey. She be me when I was here, it was donkey I was riding. Why do you want to ride horse? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Jesus went somewhere and the wine in their wedding finished. Not that they didn't have wine before. They have been drinking wine. Just that they finished it. And how many, haven't you all been to weddings that the wine and drinks finished before? Will anybody die? Well, you just increase the wine. Just give them new, more wine. For no reason. No, there was no godly principle. No bigger purpose. Just groove. Hallelujah. Just groove. Glory to God. So if you are too religious to enjoy the fullness, you are missing. Fullness. Glory to God. Fullness. And you see, African traditional worship is keeping us so busy with the day-to-day things, we can't see big picture. So we're meeting individual needs every day. So we become blinded. The day you understand that even those things that you're bothering about, they are things that are your right. They are your portion. They are your own. Those are not the things you're wasting your energy on. You should just thank God and receive them. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Glory to God. Are you getting blessed at all this morning? See Job chapter 1. This is where I got the title from, but the Holy Ghost has been moving me around in different areas, so I'm just flowing. So you know Job chapter 1, they said there was a man called Job. He was one of the greatest men in the East. And they said he had 7 sons, 3 daughters. Thank you. Go on, DJ. Yes. And also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large what? Household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. I like that. Next verse. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each one on his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. I like that. Do you know women were not created to work? We're not. Okay. It's a side gist, but I'll say it. Are you here, somebody? Let me tell you. Of course, I'm not talking about laziness. No woman should be lazy. And I'm not talking about the prostitution that is reigning now, where girls are just billing men. That's not what I'm talking about. And let me even give you a background. I have a book titled 7 Things I Badly Want to Tell Women. The foreword was done by Madame Folorunsha Lakija, the richest black woman in Africa. So one of the chapters in that book is that women should make their own money. So I'm not against women working. I know women can work and even should work. But ideally, no woman should be working because of survival, especially a married woman. She should work to contribute. She should work to enjoy. Not because if I don't work, this family will be grounded. I will explain, don't worry. I know some men are angry. And for any man here that is angry, my prayer for you is that God will bless you so much that you will appreciate what I'm saying. And God will bless you so much that you will make enough money. I'm not talking about making money that you'll not be dominating your wife or saying I'm the one working. That's not the concept. But you make enough money for your wife to walk at the pace that she wants to walk. I'm telling you. And most of you that follow my teachings on relationship and marriage, I don't teach only scripture. I can give you scriptural reference. I can give you scientific reference. I can give you statistical reference. That's how I do my teachings. So that if I'm in a place where people don't like scripture, let's go science. If you don't like science, let's go data. That's how I teach marriage. I don't teach it that just the Bible says, even though I know what the Bible says. But you see, every true principle that works, scripture, science, and statistics always agree. Scripture. The first thing God gave Adam was work. The first thing God gave Eve was family. A woman is at her best when family is going fine. She gets fulfillment from family. That is why if you're a man in the house and you have deprived or depriving your wife of being able to share the testimony that of how incredible you are really costing us something. She's dying to be able to tell her friends that see what my husband did for me. See what my husband bought for me. But you are not following our flow. be her lover boy. Give her a reason to share testimony. Women love you when they can share their testimony with other women of how great their husband is. In fact, some women love it so much that even though they have a bad husband, they still pretend to have a good one. Pastor, I've seen people at the brink of divorce. The woman still posts picture, my sweetheart. I'm telling you, they are divorcing next week. So if a man, you are depriving your wife of being able to say you bought her a gift, you surprised her, you did something for her, you are really causing trouble. So scripturally, God wants a man to be so blessed. And this blessing is not by hustling. No. I'm not talking about that you are hustling. No, you are blessed enough that your wife chooses to walk at her pace. Second, let me give you science. A woman's frame, scientifically and biologically, is not made for that kind of work. You see, it's even unfair that women are having birth, carrying babies, and they are still hustling at the same pace with a man in the office. She's doing a lot you are not doing. Have you breastfed before? Have you had period before? So it's very imbalanced if a man and a woman are walking the same way and the woman is still having children by the side. Her frame is not even wired for that. They found out that when women are stressed, Pastor, I've entered a relationship program, sorry. They found out that when men are stressed, the hormones flowing in them is very different from that flowing in women. That's why you see men get their identity from work. So men brag about how hard they work. So a man can say, I was in the office till 10 yesterday. Don't say, your own is good. I slept in the office. Amongst men, that's something we're happy. Because the hormones flowing in us when we are stressed helps us work harder. In fact, some men, when they are stressed, is work they used to rest. Because our biology is wired for that. The woman, on the other hand, when she's stressed and she's trying to meet the same target a man is meeting, what's flowing in her body is cortisol. It reduces her immune system, causes heart rate, hypertension, anxiety. So more women are dying younger because they are trying to meet targets with a man in the workplace. He's equipped biologically to deal with stress. Even her body, a woman's body is 10 times softer than a man's own. Because the ancient men, the men were hunters. They didn't enter bush so that it wouldn't cut them. Their body is strong. A woman was more about carrying babies. Her body needs to be soft. So his body is strong to face the rigors of entering the forest and hunting. Her body is soft because she needs to carry babies and the babies need to sleep. And that's why men don't understand. All of a woman's body is sensitive to touch. A man, only one part of his body is sensitive to touch. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. So this is why, Pastor, you need to bring for marriage conference. This is why, when men want to have sex, because no part of the body is sensitive to touch. When men want to have sex, just go straight to the point. And that irritates women. They're going, what? He just touched you here straight. Because for him, the only part of his body that has senses is that sexual part. So he does that. He doesn't understand that for a woman, every part of her body is sensitive to touch. So if you want to make love with a woman, you don't have to touch any of her sexual parts. You can start from her neck, her back, her hand. Every part is soft. For men, it's the opposite. If you want to do something with a man and he's working the computer, don't go and be touching his hair. You say, you are disturbing me. Now you can see I'm answering the mail. You had anything? Is there anything? He doesn't have feelings in all those places. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Say, a woman is not wired for that at all. A woman should walk at her pace. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I will give you data. I've given you science. Let me give you data. CNN brought out a report like last year or so. At least CNN, they are not Christians. They are just giving data. They found out that about 1 in 4 top women in the companies and co are dreaming of resigning so that they can spend more time with their family. These are the high achieving women. They all have what they call mommy guilt. They all feel that they're not spending time with their kids. And it's affecting the quality of kids we are bringing out. Because in those days, somebody took out more time to pay attention to the kids. But now, man and woman, husband and wife, are working at the same pace. Guess who is being neglected? The children. So your children are already watching porn from 12. Watching some kind of thing, doing all kinds of things on their tab because none of you are available. I will give you more data, like I said. They found out that among all the billionaires in the world, I think only about 11% are women in all the billionaires in the world. Because a woman never sees money as the end goal. Never. They are not that they lack capacity to make money, but a man sees money as a prize. A woman sees money as a tool. It's men that take money as if money is everything. Men can throw away every other thing and have money. 9 out of 10 richest men in the world are divorced. 9 out of 10 richest men in the world are divorced. Because men can be one-sided. Succeed. You throw away your family and your children. But women are never like that. Women understand that the goalpost for us is never about just making money. Money is a tool. It's not the end point. So only about 11% of the world's billionaires, about 300 and something billionaires, are female. Inside that 11 or so percent that are female, half of that, they inherited the billions. They didn't even create it. Inside the ones that created, still about half of them, it was both created and inherited. A woman won't set out from day one and her only goal is money. Never. She also wants to carry along, let me marry. Let me raise godly children. She has a more balanced view of life. So, men see money as a price. Women see it as a tool. That's why men get their esteem from how much they make. Women get their esteem from how much they spend. Oh. Pastor Mdi, should I go on? I should face my message. Pastor Mdi, I should face my message. Because I'm going on that direction. But are you getting what I'm saying? So I pray for all the men in the house. God will bless you to the point where your wife will only walk when she wants to walk. Because there will be enough in your hands for her to take a break permanently. For her to spend more time with the children if she wants to, in the name of Jesus. She will do the businesses she wants to do, not the ones she's forced to do. You will not expose her to those predator men that want to sleep with other people's wives, in the name of Jesus. If there's money, there won't be a problem now. What I'm saying is not bad if you have the money. People angry is people that don't have the money. And I've prayed for you now, you will have the money. What was I saying before I started this thing? I was saying, who remember what I was saying? Job, Jare. Sorry. You know, I teach marriage, and it's difficult for me to go one hour without talking about marriage. So they said, the brothers used to invite the sisters just to come and groove. I'm telling you, man. So he said, let's invite the sisters to come and groove. Next verse. He says, so it was when the days of feasting and all that, that they would send and sanctify them. Go on. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to... Hey, please, let's welcome Dr. Shola Folalade. We can do better, people. Thank you, sir. So, he said they used to sanctify and all that. Let's go down to where they had that encounter with Satan and the children of God. Okay, so they said all the children of God, that's all the heavenly bodies, were coming together. And they said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered and said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Next verse. Said, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none what like him in the earth. A blameless and upright man. One who what? Fears God and shuns evil. Now see, for the first time, Satan said the truth. That's why I said it's so true that even the devil knows it. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Next verse. He said, have you not made a hedge around him? One. Satan, for the first time, said the truth. He said there is a hedge around him. Let me tell anybody, there's a hedge around you. It's a hedge. So you have made a hedge. And please remember that Job's covenant is a very reduced covenant compared to our own. So there's a hedge around him. Kidnappers will not attack you in the name of Jesus. So there's a hedge around him. Glory to God. He said, and around what? His household. If you are here and you're bothered about where your kids are and what they're doing, this word is for you. There's a hedge around your household. I like this one. And he said, and around all that he has. On how many sides? How many sides?
Every side.
How did Satan know that there was a hedge on every side? Because he has tried every side. I decree over your life, every plan of hell will fail in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what has been happening before. From today, your story changes in the name of Jesus. You will walk from victory to victory. In the name of Jesus. See, there's a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has. See, he said, on every side. He said, and you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. This Satan sharing testimony. It's so true that even the devil, this is how blessed you are. So the challenge is that we are the ones that now open the door. Because Satan knows that God has blessed us and there's a hedge. God knows that he has blessed us and there's a hedge. We are the ones that don't know. And it shows in our prayer request every day. Just like Job. The things he was saying and doing. Whatever my session is tomorrow, I'll continue from here. Because remember, there was something we read earlier that I said we'll continue it. If they don't hear it, they won't see it. Are you hearing somebody? See, there was a hedge around him. Don't worry about insecurity. See, there was a hedge around him and around his household. So if you are bothered that your kids are far away, you don't know what's happening to them. Oh, we know what's happening to them. There is a hedge around them. He said, and around, some say, my business, I don't know what's happening. I don't want them to see my vehicle. There is a hedge around all that he has. And he said, he didn't stop there. That's why I like this gospel. It doesn't stop at protection. There's also provision. He said, and he has blessed the work of his hands. It's so true that even the devil knows. Listen, you are so blessed. You shouldn't be shocked when you see the manifestation of miracles. You should be shocked when you don't see them. You know, for most Christians, the other way around. They are very shocked that God did it. No. You should be so intoxicated with the word that when you don't see itself, you are surprised. I decree over your life, the season of delay is over in the name of Jesus. You are entering a season of manifestation in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. You can rise to your feet if you don't mind. Glory to God. Zobradaya. You are so blessed. Nothing is going to stop you. I'm going to continue with this to tomorrow. So that you know how to activate it. See, God knows it. Even Satan knows it. The only person that is not sure is you. That's the only person that is not sure. And it shows in your statements, shows in your behavior, shows in your actions. You think God is going to pity you and bless you? No, you are already blessed. God is not trying to bless you. You are blessed. His substance is increased in the land. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Can you lift your hand and just begin to thank him this evening? That there's a hedge around you. There's a hedge around your household, wherever your kids are, all over this world and all over this country. There's a hedge around all that you have. Zako barada sata. And he has blessed the work of your hands. And your possessions are increased in the land. Mahanda yegede golobosa. Jagada lagada balagada segede. Robalaga sagade galoga. Zabrade sora balagadis. Zomahandaya Shagabalagadasa Sobaradasa Talagada Shigadala Babradasa Kada. Come on, somebody. You're not begging, you're not asking, you're just thanking God. It's already around you. There's a hedge already around you. Lord, I thank you for the hedge around me. Thank you for the hedge around my household. Thank you for the hedge around all that I own. On every side, on every side. Come on, somebody. We decree it is so. We decree it is so. We decree it is so. Mande bosa kadaya. Jele bolo bolo kazata. Zegede yegede. Saga baba 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 baba. Rada yagada lakabala gada sata. Yes, Lord. We decree it is so. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Mumbre de que se telegebos. Come on, go ahead and thank him. It is your portion. There's a hedge around us. Thank you, Lord.